All right, folks, buckle up, strap yourselves in, prepare for a rocket ride into the world of danger. Today is the situation update for Tuesday, February 22nd, it turns out. Yeah, 2022. Whoa, isn't that 2-2-2-0-2-2? I'm just realizing that. That's a lot of twos in there altogether in the date, but, you know, whatever. Okay, we got major stories breaking today. Of course, the Canadian Parliament has voted to approve the national emergency for the nation of Canada, even though the Ottawa protest is apparently over and the city's all been, you know, cleared out. But I guess the emergency is never over when you're a bunch of government Nazis trying to, you know, enslave the men and women of your country and destroy all their civil rights. So, of course, the Canadian Parliament has voted 185 to 151 to approve the, quote, national emergency. So they've rubber-stamped the dictator, the Adolf Hitler of Canada, Justin Castro Trudeau. But that's only one story of a couple. Well, the next huge story is that Vladimir Putin, or Putin, of Russia, of course, has now recognized the independence of two breakaway regions from Ukraine. These are referred to as the DNR and LNR, so-called separatist regions of sorts that no longer want to be part of Ukraine. And so with Putin recognizing those two regions as now independent nations, it was only a matter of time before those nations came to some kind of treaty agreement with Russia for a mutual defense. And my understanding was at first that that process might take several days, but that once a treaty was signed between those regions and Russia, that then Putin would order Russian military forces into those regions. Well, turns out that it didn't take several days. It only took a few hours. And so as of right now, it's being widely reported that Putin has ordered Russian troops into these two regions of Ukraine, the separatist regions, and they're called, well, as I said, the DNR and LNR, but I think they're pronounced Donetsk and Luhansk, although that may be totally wrong. But those two regions are now apparently receiving Russian troops and military assets right now, and they're being labeled peacekeepers. So here we go, folks. Here we go. So I almost can't overstate the danger that this brings up for the world, and also the danger of the U.S. meddling in this region and how the United States and over the years, the U.S. deep state under the Clintons and the Bidens and, Obama and others have exploited and abused Ukraine for their own political purposes, for money laundering purposes, for hiding documentation and classified information and so on. And now, as a result, America is very strongly intertwined in this conflict, even though, you know, traditionally these eastern regions of Ukraine have been culturally Russo people or people of Russian heritage, and of course they all speak Russian in that region. And of course I don't know enough about the local politics to understand the complexities of, you know, why Ukraine doesn't want them to leave and why Russia absolutely wants them to leave and ultimately join Russia. But I can say this: whatever you think about Ukraine or Russia or these breakaway regions, the United States is going to make a mess of it under Biden and Obama. The one thing you can count on is that the Democrats are going to screw this up so royally that they're going to cause massive suffering across multiple continents, you know, the European continent and probably North America as well, and, you know, portions of the Asian continent at the same time. So this is a very bad scenario. This is a very bad development. There is no good news in this. And here's here's how this can very quickly escalate. It's probably kind of obvious to most of you listening, but I'll just run through it really quickly. So, of course, these two breakaway regions then ask Russia for military assistance, saying something like, "Oh, we are being attacked by the aggressors of Ukraine," and right, that's going to be their, you know, their justification. And please, Russia, help us defend ourselves against these Ukrainian aggressors. That's the kind of story that's going to be that is being told actually right now in the media in that region. And then Russia is going to say, "Well, of course we're happy to help. Let us send tanks and troops and missiles." And then Russia floods personnel into these regions that the government of Ukraine considers to be Ukrainian territory. So then the government of Ukraine says, "Oh my God, we're being invaded." And then that's what the Western media reports. Headlines like, "Russia invades Ukraine." And even though that headline doesn't really capture the complexity of what's going on, it's about the only headline that's going to be repeated across Western media. So the typical American person is going to see that headline. They're going to say, "Oh my God! Oh my God, Russia is the aggressor! Putin broke his promise and he's invading Ukraine." And perhaps there are many, many people in Ukraine who would have the same interpretation, you know, sort of more Western Ukraine individuals or families or analysts or members of the government or what have you. They might say that, you know, this is kind of scary. It looks like Russia's invading, you know, Ukrainian territory. So then the United States, always making the situation worse, is going to jump into this fray and say, "Well, we must come to the defense of Ukraine." And so this is how you're going to get Russia and America into something like a proxy war, but a proxy war in that region that could escalate into World War III. And even worse, this is going to give Biden the excuse that he needs to blame Putin for the deep state launched false flag attacks, the cyber attacks on America's own infrastructure. And I now believe that these cyber attacks will target three sectors of the U.S. infrastructure. Sector one will be the power grid. This would be devastating if they bring it down for any real length of time. Section two would be banking and finance. Also devastating if they bring it down. And then, the third sector would be telecommunications. And all of these are going to be targeted. And again, as I've said, and I did not misstate this, as I've said, it's the deep state. It's, you know, it's the black hat elements inside the U.S. Well, I don't know if you even just say government, or it's more like a quasi globalist group of black hat spooks operating, you know, under the U.S. government. They have been ordered to bring down America, but Biden needs war with Russia in order to blame these cyber attacks on Russia. You see, this is why Biden's been pushing so hard for this. And this is why Biden is incredibly, no doubt, gleeful. Well, or his handlers are gleeful that Putin has now sent some, quote, peacekeeping forces into the region that Ukraine considers to be, you know, Ukraine proper, the nation, the sovereign state of Ukraine. And so this is going to give Biden the excuse he needs, you know, to engage, Putin. And so we are literally watching the start of something that could be World War III, unless somebody finds a way to de-escalate this, you know, very quickly. And that doesn't look likely to happen. Now, one of the things that you know, those of you who listen to this podcast, you're the most well-informed people in the world about current events and what's going on. You know that wars are never really fought over, you know, protecting the people or freeing the people. No, wars are fought over resources. So you think about Desert Storm, the U.S., you know, why were we in the Middle East in 1991 dropping bombs? Was it to free the Iraqi people? No, it was about controlling oil, obviously. You know, why were we in Afghanistan for so many years? Was it about freeing the Afghani tribes? No. It was about, among other things, protecting the heroin trade so that the CIA and other deep state operatives could continue to fund themselves by selling heroin all over the world, which now in the U.S., don't forget, you have DOJ approved heroin injection sites being set up. So that kind of completes the cycle, you know. They might as well just sell heroin at those sites and have the money go to the CIA. But even, I mean, looking at almost every war in history, even look at World War II, Adolf Hitler, as he was moving eastward into Russia or the Soviet Union at the time, you know, what was Hitler aiming for? Why did he traverse the winter wasteland to Stalingrad and other regions? Because he needed Russia's oil and steel industries. See, Russia has always been very strong in oil and steel, well, energy and steel. You know, in that era, in the 1930s and 40s, iron ore was, you know, one of the most valuable minerals because you could use it to make steel. And why did you need steel? Not only to build your own buildings for your industrial base, but also to build tanks, to build weapons of war, to build naval vessels and so on, and to build the V2 rockets, it turns out, in the case of Germany. But today, fast forward to now, 2022, there are other elements that are far more valuable in terms of the global economy and, you know, economic abundance and so on. And a lot of those minerals are things like, you know, titanium and uranium and lithium, by the way, for making batteries for electric vehicles. And it turns out that Ukraine, well, all over Ukraine, but obviously some regions have more than others, there are vast mineral resources. Ukraine is inherently a very wealthy country. It has a lot of natural resources. It has soil. It can produce a tremendous amount of food, but it also has minerals. And so Ukraine doesn't want to let go of any piece of land where there might be mineral resources, obviously. You know, whether or not the people are valued, there's minerals there. And by the way, just for reference, in the United States, the federal government has currently controls 80% of the land in certain states like Nevada. That's right. The federal government has seized, in essence, 80% of the land from the people so that the government can control it. You may not have realized that, but much of North America is not land that's available for the American people. It's been seized by the government for strategic purposes. And if you look at, oh, you know, like what happened with former Senator Harry Reid, who I think, didn't he die? I think he's dead, right? But before he died, I think he's, yeah, pretty sure he died. But before he died, he was running the ranchers off of their ranches in Nevada. And he was, doing that in order to have the land seized for its uranium deposits as part of the Uranium One scam. That involved the Clintons, of course, corrupt government officials, and eventually nuclear processing facilities in Russia, but also involving Canada as kind of an in-between to handle the nuclear material. So really, you got to go research. If you want to dig into this, it's, you know, it's a rabbit hole to follow. But look at Senator Reid, Nevada, uranium, Canada, Russia, the Clintons. And believe me, you're going to have an incredible, you're going to get red-pilled like never before. It even involves Robert Mueller from the FBI. So yeah, check that out. But that's, I'm not going to go into the detail here. But the point is that every government in the world wants to have more control over more land, more resources, with the potential for more agricultural production, potentially a larger tax base because of the people living there, but importantly, the minerals. And what's becoming obvious now in this age of solar panels and electric vehicles and, you know, circuit boards and so on, is the importance of rare earth minerals. And you may know that China, up until about 2016, when Trump came into the picture, before Trump came in, China controlled about 80% of the world's supply of rare earth minerals. Now, one of the positive things that Trump did is he worked very hard to diversify the supplies and allow or kind of push the United States to develop its own supply chain for rare earth minerals in order to reduce our dependence on China for strategic reasons. It was, it was successful and it was a very smart thing for Trump to do. Well, think about Ukraine. So both Russia and Ukraine want access to those rare earth minerals because those are strategic resources that can be used to make all kinds of exotic systems like weapon systems, space-based systems, you know, technology in space, not just solar panels and wind turbines, but, you know, even more advanced things like laser weapon systems that can be mounted on naval vessels. So in World War II, the strategic advantage went to those nations that could control supplies of rubber, because rubber was used to make tires, right, and gaskets. Well, I mean, it's still used to make tires and gaskets. And that was necessary for transportation, logistics, vehicles, you know, economies based on transportation and so on. But also back in World War II, of course, in addition to rubber, steel and oil, as I said, well, and steel coming from iron ore. So if you think about it, it's rubber, which comes from trees near the equator, you know, tropical or subtropical regions. That's where you get rubber. So they had to control nations near the equator for that reason. And then, you know, iron ore and then fossil fuels. Today, it's a little bit different. Today, we can synthesize alternatives to rubber using, you know, advanced technology and fossil fuels. But fossil fuels themselves are still very important. But then these rare earth minerals become extremely important now in a way that did not exist back in the 1930s and 40s. So as a result of the changing technology, the changing dynamics of the strategic importance of different types of minerals, what happens is over these years, then nations that are sitting on land and different types of mines that can produce different types of minerals, they change in their strategic importance. And what has happened over the last few decades is Ukraine has become far more strategically important now than it was even in World War II, because of this changing dynamic. On top of that, Ukraine occupies a very important geographic position on the European continent. It's kind of like the bridgeway for Russia to meet the Western Europe. So you gotta go through Ukraine, unless you're gonna go by sea, which is, you know, far more difficult. But if you're gonna go by land, you need to go through Ukraine. And also if you're gonna have pipelines that, you know, ship natural gas and so on across Europe, you gotta go through Ukraine. So Ukraine has that strategic importance because of its geographic position. So what Biden and NATO forces, or i.e. Western forces, are really afraid of is that if Russia is able to occupy these two breakaway regions with military personnel and equipment, that would give him a foothold into eastern Ukraine, from which Putin could then expand in a military sense and certainly could position, you know, more missiles and more surveillance equipment and more personnel and so on, you know, deeper into what Ukraine considers to be its own proper borders. And this is perceived, you know, as a threat by Western forces. Now, the other thing to realize about Ukraine and why it's so strategically valuable, number one, Ukraine is very, very large in terms of its square kilometers of land. Many people don't realize that, especially Westerners don't necessarily realize that. But Ukraine is, of course, larger than Germany. It's larger than the United Kingdom by far. And it's about the same size as France, actually. In addition, think about Ukraine's borders. You know, it has its entire southern border along the Black Sea. So there are very important ports there for shipping by sea and access to, you know, Turkey across the sea and Bulgaria, Romania, and other regions. But Ukraine's borders on the west also, they touch Romania and Hungary and Slovakia and Poland, and then on the north, Belarus. And so Ukraine is this very important central hub through which much of Eastern European commerce flows and also energy flows. And I fully realize that Belarus is another pathway through which Russia can have pipelines to, you know, Poland, for example. But Ukraine is more of a hub because it touches more countries. It's more centrally located. And Ukraine actually has a greater variability of climate and conditions. So, you know, the warmer regions, Odessa and the Black Sea at the south, and then the colder regions up north near Belarus, and then all the different farming and food production areas in between, with, again, central location to distribute food to much of Europe or Russia, should the buyers be in Russia. Okay, and finally, the fact that on the eastern edge of Ukraine, it's touching Russia. That's why Russia does not want Ukraine to join NATO. And Russia does not want NATO to expand further east in order to be able to threaten Russia. Now, I'm going to put an image on screen for you here in the podcast. And this is an image of Eastern Europe in 1941. And as you can see, it's labeled the German invasion of Russia operations, June 22nd through August 25th, 1941. Now, what's important to understand about this map, so all the regions in red that you see vertically distributed across roughly the center of the map, from Estonia in the north all the way to the Baltic Sea, that's the near the top of the image, down to, do you see the city of Odessa? Towards the, that's a port at the Black Sea. And of course, the Black Sea there is at the southern or bottom part of this image. Now, what I want you to understand is that when it's talking about Odessa, okay, that's modern day Ukraine. And you might be able to see on the map, you know, there's a name, it says Ukraine, but it's kind of hard to see. The point is that a lot of the Nazi invasion, the eastward expansion of the Nazis went right through Ukraine. And there were many, many battles in what is present day Ukraine. And as you can see to the east, there is a city called Stalingrad. And this is an area that Hitler desperately wanted to seize, and his forces made it all the way there to Stalingrad on the east. And you can see a river running north and south. And what is that? The Volga River. Stalingrad sits it spans that river, and the German Sixth Army had made it all the way to Stalingrad, and they were trying to conquer that so they could cross that river and then continue their expansion eastward into the Soviet Union in order to seize what I mentioned before, iron ore, steel mills, fossil fuels, and so on. But the German army had overextended itself, and I believe it was the winter of 1943, but I'd have to go back and check. Okay, I just did a search on that. Yeah, the Battle of Stalingrad went from late 1942 into February of 1943. And this battle, it says here, was marked by fierce close quarters combat and direct assaults on civilians in air raids. But the point is that at Stalingrad, the Soviet Union stopped the German Sixth Army and actually surrounded that army and caused the Germans to surrender. And in that surrender, Adolf Hitler lost some huge, I forgot the exact number, but it was over 100,000 troops. It was some huge number, and also a lot of tanks and so on. But the point is that Russia, you know, modern day Russia has this memory of what happens when Western European forces try to expand, they always push eastward. And they push through Ukraine, and then they try to threaten, you know, modern-day Russia. And so Putin is very aware, you know, of this history, and so that's why he's extremely nervous, understanding the strategic importance of Ukraine and its ports, Odessa in particular, and its ability to distribute resources and supplies throughout Europe because of the borders that it shares with so many other countries. So remember, we can't really understand the present unless we study the past. And that's why this map is so important. When you start looking at this, and, you know, no doubt, think about Putin from his point of view. He's looking at Western Europe today become fascist regimes. Kind of like Adolf Hitler. You know, you look at modern day Germany, it's run by a Nazi, Angela Merkel. Now, she was an East German intelligence leader. I assume everybody knows that, but maybe not everybody does. But that's her background. You look at who's running the UK now, Boris Johnson. Look at who's running France, Macron, a graduate of the World Economic Forum, which is, you know, essentially a fascist Nazi training camp. And so from Putin's point of view, he's looking west and he's saying, oh my God, it's the rise of the Nazis again. And they're pushing east. And that doesn't even have to include Ukraine itself. It's just these other countries, France, Germany, the UK, they're pushing eastward through NATO expansion and the US behind them. So there is historical reason for Putin to be nervous about the threats of expansion onto his borders, the borders of Russia. Now, on the other hand, to look at this the other way, NATO and Western Europe and modern day Ukraine are saying, well, wait a minute. Putin is aggressing. He's the aggressor moving westward towards us by moving, quote, peacekeepers into these two, breakaway separatist regions. So that's Putin's aggression against us, and we have to stop that. But my point is, I do not see a situation where this gets resolved without an exchange of fire. This does not look like a situation that's going to go away with diplomacy because of what's at stake and because of the history and because of even the differences, the conflicts internally in Ukraine, the different cultures among people there, those of the eastern region versus more central and western Ukrainians who, you know, truthfully have a different culture, the different distribution of language, different histories. And so it's hard to see that this is going to be peacefully resolved. Now, the reason this matters to you and I, most of the people listening to this are in America or Canada, some in Europe and so on. The reason this matters to us is because our governments are going to want to get involved in this. And then our governments can be threatened by Russia. Now, let's cover briefly the technological advantage in weapon systems by Putin. Now, I've mentioned some of this before, but just briefly, we know that Russia has functional hypersonic cruise missiles. And by hypersonic, we mean anywhere from Mach 5 up to like Mach 17 or 18. I mean, insane speeds. And we also know, or at least we believe, you can go read up on Jane's Defense and everywhere else that's public information. We believe that the United States has no effective defenses against these hypersonic systems. So right there, should Russia decide to engage in cruise missile strikes against Western targets, which could be ships in the Black Sea or the Baltic Sea, even if they want to go up north and fight up there, could be military installations in Ukraine or other European nations. It could be military hardware, such as tanks and so on. But Putin has the ability to take those assets out very effectively and very quickly. In addition, in addition to that, did you know that the atomic weapons that were used in World War II, one of them was called, Fat Boy, I think? There were two bombs, you know, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Do you know that those were only, what were they, like less than 20 kilotons of equivalent TNT power? Okay, kilotons. That's it. Do you know that today's nuclear warheads that are possessed by both Russia and the United States and, you know, of course, also China, that today's nuclear warheads are not just, let me see the best way to describe this, not just 100 kilotons, which would be five times bigger, let's say, than Hiroshima. They are more like 100 megatons, which is 5,000 times bigger. In other words, 5,000 times more energy released. That's 100 megaton warhead. Now, not all the warheads are 100 megatons. Some are like 25 megatons or 50 megatons, but some are 100. And rumors are that Russia has warheads which are more than, well, up to 200 megatons. Now, a 200 megaton warhead if you hit a target, let's say in the United States, you know, the U.S. has big underground bases under the mountains in central Colorado, okay? Even, I don't care how deep you are under the mountain, you cannot survive a hit by a 200 megaton warhead. I mean, it would be devastating to the entire continent. So, you know, let us not play silly games and win stupid prizes and so on by getting into kinetic conflicts with a superpower, which is modern day Russia, that has extremely powerful weapons that can devastate the United States in numerous ways. And I know that we have nuclear weapons trained on Russia too, and you might think, well, they're not going to fire because of mutually assured destruction. Well, maybe they are going to fire if they feel like their existence is threatened by us. This is a very dangerous situation. Russia has also the coastal nuclear weapons, you know, that can cause the radioactive tidal waves on both the east and west coasts. Russia's got nuclear submarines. And also Russia has advanced electromagnetic jamming systems that can jam military radios and radar and comms systems across an entire continent. It's kind of an important rule of thumb, you know, don't antagonize nations that have 200 megaton warheads and a very advanced military weaponry. Meanwhile, the United States military is run at the top levels by woketard generals who, of course, are far more interested in their gay parades and having military bases with cross-dressing soldiers wearing high heels and dresses performing for the other soldiers. You know, the Pentagon leaders today, the woketards, all they're doing, they're just like pigs feeding at the trough, just collecting money for their influence and for approving military contracts that waste, what, hundreds of billions of dollars a year now in the United States? Total waste. Even though the military budget is what, I think it's like $700 billion a year. What do we get for that? Do we get advanced weapon systems? No. You just get greed and corruption and fat pigs in high heels and lipstick and fiery fingernails at the Pentagon who are more concerned about gay rights and transgenderism in the military and paying for surgeries to literally have U.S. soldiers have their balls surgically removed in the name of woketardism. You think you're going to win a war with that kind of attitude? Nope. Not a chance. Not a chance. Meanwhile, the Russians are actually training soldiers to be fighters, right? And the Russians actually have very, very smart scientists who have been building incredible weapon systems, you know, incredibly effective and hence incredibly dangerous weapon systems that can deliver kinetic energy to specific targets, you know, all the way around the world to a devastating effect. So it's like as America devolved into woketardism, the Russians just doubled down and tripled down on their weapons research programs to the point where even though Russia's military budget is a small fraction of America's military budget, but Russia has spent their budget far more effectively and can now threaten the United States in ways to which the U.S. cannot defend itself or against which. Or to paint a more accurate picture, and you know, pardon the graphic nature of this, that the U.S. Pentagon and the, you know, top level of the U.S. military would be, you know, a bunch of overweight, overfed, fat cats who are child raping pedophiles getting blown in the back booth of a giant buffet spread that's paid for by weapons manufacturers who are getting contracts and then offering kickbacks to all these decision makers who get it in Bitcoin, by the way. And that's the scene in the United States. They have no interest in actually, you know, national defense or doing what's right for America or defending America's borders. They talk about Ukrainians' borders being so important. What about America's southern border? There's an emergency. If you want an emergency or there's an invasion, you could argue, why aren't you dealing with that? Answer, they don't care. They're getting kickbacks. They're getting a steady supply of adrenochrome or whatever they're into. They don't care. America has become so corrupt and just so dishonest and so fraudulent that it cannot function as a society. If you cannot protect your borders, you cannot function. You are no longer a functioning nation. You understand? Where America cannot defend its borders, at least Putin, no matter what you think of him, and he's no angel, I get it. At least he's interested in Russia's borders, isn't he? America, the current corrupt leadership of America has no interest in protecting America's borders. Not even any interest in protecting America's culture. Hence the tearing down of the statues of the historical figures throughout America's history, just being torn down left and right. Nobody stops it. You think Putin would let that happen in Russia? Don't think so. You start tearing down statues in Russia, you know, you probably get shot by the secret police or something. So America can't defend its borders, can't defend its culture, can't even defend its own history. And then in America, war is declared against half the nation domestically, saying they're terrorists if they disagree with the government. It's war against white people, by the way. It's war on children with the masking in the schools. It's war on logic and reason in the universities because they say, you know, math is racist and logic is racist and reason is racist and education is racist and test scores are racist and college entrance exams are racist. Portland, by the way, just revoked a bicycle helmet law because they said that's racist too. Too many black people were being written citations for not wearing helmets, you know. So what's racist? Too many black people getting written up. I didn't know helmets were racist. But I do understand why people don't want to wear them or be chased down by cops for not wearing one. But you get my point. America has failed to defend anything. Any of the things that make up the pillars of the nation, not even America's own currency. You do realize, right, that America's currency has been under attack since 1971 when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, right? Do you know what percentage of the purchasing power of the dollar has been lost since 1971? Let's check this out. Let's go to duckduckgo.com. Let's just do this together. How much dollar purchasing power lost since 1971 gold standard? How about that? Let's type that in and let's see what it says. What answers do we get? Oh, U.S. dollar devaluation since 1913 and 1971. And this is funny. This is a Bitcoin website. But let's see. Oh, wait. Here's a really great graph from visualcapitalist.com. Let me show you this. Let's put this on screen for all the viewers and listeners. Check out this graph. So let's see. The value of a dollar in 2020 was worth 25 or 20, what, $26 in 1910 or so. And then in 1970, that was worth, what is it saying here? $6, $7. Then the gold standard was abandoned. And then the dollar just kept dropping to now, and this was in 2020, a dollar buys a McDonald's coffee. But back in 1913, a dollar bought 30 Hershey's chocolate bars. In 1933, a dollar bought 10 bottles of beer. Or in 1944, 20 bottles of Coca-Cola. In 1964, it bought a drive-in movie ticket. In 1971, it bought 17 oranges. Try to buy 17 oranges today for a dollar. In 2008, you could buy two lemons. In 2020, you can buy a McDonald's coffee. How much you think you're going to be able to buy with a dollar by 2024 or 2025? What are you going to be able to get? Like a square of toilet paper. Not even a roll, just a square. Can you share a square? Yeah, for a dollar. Unbelievable. Oh, and by the way, all these numbers are not nearly as bad as reality because these are based on official government inflation numbers, which downplay the severity of the inflation. Actually, in reality, the value of the dollar has lost about 20 to 25% in the last year all by itself. So think about what that means. America can't defend its borders. America can't defend its culture. America can't defend its own currency. And yet we want to go meddle in Eastern Europe with the borders of Ukraine and Russia and separatist nations. We have no business messing with other countries. And that's my overall point here. To those of you listening, wherever you are in the world, whether you live in Ukraine or Russia or UK or Canada, whatever your opinion is on this, the US has no business meddling with affairs in Eastern Europe because we need to solve our own problems at home right now. You know how bad homelessness is in Portland? Even the newscaster, I saw a newscaster there the other day. I don't even know if I can find this. But a newscaster was like, it's so bad. There's homeless people everywhere. I was like, what are we going to do? And of course the city council has a solution. Well, we've got to get back to basics. We've got to focus on helping people. It's like, that's how you got here, you morons. You claim to be helping people. All you did is raise taxes and legalize drugs. And then you stop prosecuting violent criminals and you demonized Trump supporters and all the actual producers in society. So they left town. And here's what you have left. It's a bunch of junkies, addicts, prostitutes, Antifa protesters, violent terrorists, and, you know, money grubbing lunatics. And of course, a bunch of child raping perverts on the city council. That's what you got left. Welcome to Portland and Seattle and San Francisco and Chicago. And on and on, all these liberal cities that are on the verge of total collapse in America. It's like, hey, Biden, you know what? You want to be concerned about separatist regions? You might want to take a look at, you know, Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington and Northern California, because they're all about to leave their states because they've had enough, and rightfully so, had enough of the corruption and the lawlessness and the violent crimes. I mean, heck, even like state legislators in Illinois, they can barely drive through the city of Chicago without getting carjacked on their way to have a congressional vote. They get carjacked going in and out of the state capitol building, you know? That's how bad it is. And then in every case, these same lunatics that cause these problems, they double down. What's the solution? Oh, more government. It's got to be more government, more taxes, more control, more emergency powers, more government. Yeah, we're going to solve all of these problems. These are the same retards that were defunding police, and now they wonder why they get carjacked in Chicago. Think about it. They create all the problems. The same people that raise, you know, property taxes, and then they wonder why housing is unaffordable for local people. You raise the property taxes. Do you have no memory of what you did? These are the same people who support the DAs that let violent criminals out of prison. Oh, did you rape somebody? Okay, we're just going to let you loose on bail. And then they go rape somebody again 12 hours later. And then, you know, the city leaders, oh my God, why are rapings up so much and shootings and violent? Because you're letting all the criminals out. What did you think was going to happen? Remember COVID? California, they just said, oh, COVID, it might spread through the prisons. We better let all the criminals onto the streets there. That's going to make society safer from COVID. So what happened? This is rampant murderers and rapings and lootings and home invasions and drug deals. What did you think was going to happen? It's like half the human race has forgotten about cause and effect. It's as if the spike protein ate their brains, which actually did happen. So that's not even an exaggeration. That's part of what actually took place. But yet somehow these lunatics have enough brain function to remain on the city council, which granted doesn't require much brain function. It's kind of like just show up and nod and grunt a couple of times. Yes. You know, vote for more tyranny. And you know, like a zombie could do that. And I think some of them are zombies, come to think of it. And what's your vote, Councilwoman Longovich, on criminalizing freedom?
I vote yes.
Like, that'd be on Zoom, you know? I'd be like, wow, she looks like an actual demon. Like, the demon's coming out right now. I can... It's, whoa, she's turning into a lizard creature right in front of our very eyes. No, that's just a Zoom artifact. That's a bad compression algorithm on the webcam. It's just a conspiracy theory. You know, that's what we'll be told. But I say to Joe Biden and the Democrats, you know, stop worrying about the people of Donetsk and instead start worrying about the people of Detroit. How about that? You want a city with a D in it? Detroit. Start there. Denver, even. I mean, there's a lot of cities to choose from. You know, Boeing moved out of Seattle. Even Boeing is like, this is too much drug use around here. Too much violent crime, junkies all over the place. We got to leave, and they did. Or at least they're in the process of it. All right, so the final comment on this section of the podcast is, you know, Biden's insane. Obama is a lunatic who wants to destroy America, and he still is in charge of a lot of things. They're going to drive us into World War III if they can. So we are literally in such a bad situation now that our only hope of avoiding World War III is that Putin just decides to not play along. That Putin shows restraint. Because we know that NATO forces won't. We know that America's corrupt Pentagon won't. I mean, my God. I mean, they rigged the election. They're an illegitimate occupying force. You know, the enemies of America are the ones that claim to be in charge of America, and they want to destroy America. We should pray that people like Putin exercise restraint and even resist the provocations of Biden and the USA and NATO forces and so on that are trying to, you know, provoke a war. Because if cooler heads don't prevail, we're all going to end up in World War III. And then there goes our power grid. There goes our financial institutions go down. Total chaos. Cities erupt into mass violence and looting. Just war everywhere across. Well, not everywhere. Not necessarily in rural areas in the red states, but every city will devolve into outright war. And none of us want to see that happen. All right, so that's my summary of the situation with Ukraine and Russia. We're going to move on to other topics now. News broke late last night, by the way, that the U.S. had evacuated its Ukraine embassy staff to Poland. the embassy's in Kiev. And so the U.S. State Department is evacuating people out of Kiev? What's going on? Well, you know, they're trying to signal that they think Putin is going to invade Kiev. But really all that's happened is, you know, these two breakaway regions in the southeastern portion of Ukraine, have essentially declared independence and Putin's recognized their independence. I don't know why embassy staff can't function in Kiev. But that's part of the Western intelligence media propaganda. But the other thing that the White House has done, by the way, is Biden has issued an executive order that is going to, quote, prohibit new investment, trade, and financing by U.S. persons to, from, or in the so-called DNR and LNR regions of Ukraine. So if you had planned to launch a huge investment into Donetsk, which, let's be honest, most Americans had never even heard of it until today. But if you were planning on having a multi-million dollar, meat factory or something in Donetsk, well, your plans have been dashed by Joe Obama, Barack Biden. Your plans have been dashed. You can no longer invest in Donetsk. You know, I guess you'll just have to buy more stock in Trump's Truth Social platform, which apparently launched yesterday. And there are, from what we could tell, because we were signing up, by the way, and grabbing our names like Health Ranger and Brighteon and so on, and we got them. But from what we could tell, there were like 300,000 more people waiting in line to get started or something. Seems like the platform is incredibly overwhelmed at this point. But hey, you know, maybe it's a good sign. It's incredibly popular. Maybe they're going to get on top of it. I hope they understand scalability. Because it looks like they're getting overwhelmed. And maybe they're getting hit with DDoS too. Who knows? But I just want to say for the record, I hope that every free speech platform succeeds. But it's not yet clear to me whether Truth Social is going to be a free speech platform. Because you notice how they're in the Apple iPhone store. And you know that in order to have your app in the iPhone store, you know that you have to agree to Apple's free speech restrictions, which means it means Truth Social won't let anybody post anything critical of transgenderism or demons or abortion or Satanism or anything like that. So the question that I have, and I'm going to test this, as soon as Truth Social is actually working, I'm going to go there and I'm going to start posting stuff like, you know, the child trafficking Democrats, you know, like fill in the blanks. And I'm just going to see if I get banned or not, because that's going to be an important test of whether it's actually a free speech platform. And I don't think it's going to be, frankly. I really don't think it's going to be, which is why I post on Brighteon.social. That's where you actually see me posting the most stuff. I also post on Telegram. My name there is Real Health Ranger. Oh, and I see just gone over 70,000 subscribers there. So thank you for joining me there. Just look for Real Health Ranger on Telegram. And I've been posting on Getter, but Getter has banned some conservatives, so I don't know what's the deal there. Keep an eye on that situation. But for me, it's Brighteon.social and Telegram. That's where I post. You know, just so you know. All right, let's hit a couple other news items here real quick. Fox News host Neil Cavuto claimed on air that he was hospitalized with COVID. And he said, quote, doctors say that had I not been vaccinated at all, I wouldn't be here. So let me get this straight. So Neil Cavuto, part of the Fox Pro Pharma propaganda network, he went out and got vaccinated and then he got COVID and ended up in the hospital. So apparently that didn't give him a clue. And somehow it was like, hey, Neil, don't you know the vaccines are supposed to protect you from getting infected? That's what Joe Biden promised. What, you don't believe him? So how did you get infected if you were vaccinated? Oh, because the vaccines don't work? Oh, how did you end up hospitalized if you were vaccinated? Oh, because the vaccines destroy your immune system? So you ended up in the hospital. You almost died. And then the doctor says, well, good thing you took the jab or you would have died. How do you know? How do you know that the jab didn't put you in the hospital? Because that's the most likely explanation here. Mr. Cavuto, you've been deceived by Big Pharma. And in fact, since you took all those jabs, you know, I'm sad to say it's probably not going to be your last visit to a hospital. Because you're growing spike protein bioweapons in your body. And that's going to cause, you know, neurological damage, vascular damage, inflammation, not a good scene. So it's a shame, you know, it's a shame to see people who are being murdered by these vaccines, but they're so deep into the cult that they think the vaccines are saving them. And I'm sure people like Neil Cavuto will say this even on their dying, you know, their deathbed, last dying breath, as the spike protein eats the rest of their brain. You know, they're like, so glad I took the jab, you know, as they're being murdered by it. I never thought that we would see a global depopulation holocaust where the victims of the holocaust praise their murderers and give credit to them as they're being slaughtered and exterminated. It's just incredible. I almost can't explain it. It's like, were you not aware that there's such a thing as an immune system? Did you not know that? Wow. And by the way, Neil, you could have just taken ivermectin and you wouldn't have had to go to the hospital probably. Most likely. You could have learned about vitamin D and zinc and quercetin and, you know, and the Zelenko protocol everything. You could learn about nutrition. But no. The jab. I'm alive because of the jab, but I'm also slowly dying because of the jab. So, sad to hear. You ever hear people say, like, such a tragic event took place and like, I'm slowly dying inside. But if they took the spike protein jab, that's literally true, actually. Sad to say, they are slowly dying inside. You know, at the cellular level, not a good thing. But switching gears here, did you hear about the science camp in California? An elementary school science camp? So biological male counselors who pretend to be women, you know, transgenders, were sleeping in the same rooms with 10-year-old girls. You know, like what, fourth and fifth grade girls. Parents found out about this. This is the Weaver Elementary School in Los Alamitos. And they are criticizing the school district because they were not told that their little girls would be sleeping with men with penises in log cabins out in the woods somewhere and sharing, you know, showers and bathrooms and everything else. So, you know, this is what happens in California. And I understand that parents are angry about this, obviously. But parents, did you not realize that when you turn your children over to the public school system, you are sacrificing your children to Moloch? You do know that, right? You might as well just be tossing them into the fire with the big statue of Moloch, you know, right out of the Old Testament. And burning them alive to praise the gods of transgenderism and the gods of wokeness or whatever. If you turn your children over to the public school district, you should not be surprised if they come home being psychologically traumatized by a drag queen story hour or, you know, pedophile teachers, you know, woke tard indoctrination school teachers who are trying to groom your children for pedophilia, you know, brainwashing. You should not be surprised. And this is part of the problem. This is why America, I mean, part of the reason why America is a failed state at this point, because too many parents they love the convenience of saying, well, I don't have to worry about my children all day. Just going to send them off to some government-run indoctrination camp called a public school while I go off and work my job and make more money so we can be a family. Your family's being ripped apart because of the indoctrination. If you love your children, and yes, there's judgment in this statement. If you love your children, homeschool them. If you love your children, don't put them in the public school system. Don't sacrifice them to Moloch. If you allow your children to go into the public school system, they're going to be groomed into transgenderism. They're going to be encouraged to have their organs cut off or maimed, surgically maimed, or chemical castration interventions and all these things. Their minds are going to be all twisted. They're going to end up worshiping Satan. You know, I mean, you turn your kids over to Satan, don't be surprised when they end up worshiping Satan. That's all I'm saying. So it's like you found out your 10-year-old daughter spent 3 nights in the woods in a log cabin with you know, biological science teacher with a penis sharing the same bathrooms and showers. Oh, and that shocks you? You shouldn't be shocked. You signed up for that when you sent your little girls out with the, you know, public school demons. You signed up for that. Why did you send your girls into the woods with perverts? I mean, I'm not the only one asking this question. Why are you doing this, parents? You know, and you hear the sob stories. Oh, I can't homeschool because I can't afford it. I have to go work a second job. Hey, downsize your life. You know, skip the Caribbean cruise. Move to a smaller house that you can afford. I mean, wouldn't it be better to live in a trailer, actually, and have your family intact than to be in a nice McMansion home, but your 10-year-old daughter is subjected to, you know, insane perversions and possible rapings from, you know, the science teacher? And by the way, how can anybody be a science teacher and then pretend that transgenderism is real? I mean, what happened to XY chromosomes in science? You know, XX is female, XY is male. And you can't change them just by wishing, it turns out. So what, you have a biological male science teacher who runs around and says, oh, he wants to sleep with the girls in the cabin, so he's going to pretend to be a woman. And what, the school administrators just accept that? Well, you teach science, must be true. We believe in science, you must be a woman. Really? I mean, this is how crazy, quote, science has become in America, where the science teachers are the transgenders who deny biological reality. No doubt you could probably get Bill Nye, the science guy, to host a science camp like that and proclaim that he self-identifies as a creature with a vagina or something. That would not surprise me coming from him. Who knows? You know, they deleted his episodes off, what was it? All the episodes about XY chromosomes? The whole chapter on chromosomes, the old science guy episodes? Yeah, they deleted that off of, what was it? Netflix, I think, or Hulu or wherever. It's like, just memory hole chromosomes, so nobody knows chromosomes exist. Why? Well, because the science people are interested in sleeping with little girls in log cabins in the woods, which is what they're doing now. And you know, I mentioned Moloch there, and if you've read any of the Old Testament, you know there are many different names and spellings of Moloch. Moloch, whatever. Different names, but it's all Satan, okay? And I don't know if you know this, I just learned this recently, but did you know that the Christmas carols, you know how in Christmas carols you're singing about Yule tides? Like Yule tide, Y-U-L-E. And I just learned this. Did you know that the history of the word Yule is, actually it means child. And that some of those Christmas songs are actually singing about, child sacrifice. You know, you hear people say, yeah, throw another, you know, Yuletide log on the fire. It's Christmas season. And in the Old Testament, what that really meant was, throw another child into the burning pit of sacrifice to Moloch. And the reason I even bring this up is because, you know, God saw that happening and God decided to unleash his wrath. In fact, God could not believe that the adults, the parents of that era, were literally burning their children alive. Literally. And then those same parents would go to the church, the Christian church, on the very same day. Like in the morning, they burn their children alive. And by the way, this is the origin of the Little Drummer Boy Christmas songs. They had to have drums to drown out the sounds of the screaming children that they were throwing into the fire. So when you hear references to Little Drummer Boys, that's about the beating of the drums as the children are being sacrificed to Moloch, but that's a whole different story. But then those parents would go to church that same day, like burn their children alive in the morning, and then in the afternoon go praise Jesus. And God got pretty angry about that. Very angry about that. Because not only was it, of course, destroying the children, but it was doing it in the name of Jesus. Now, today it's a little bit different, although part of the reason I'm saying this is because God is unleashing his wrath upon our world, both Canada and the United States and Western nations, for the child sacrifice that has been going on for decades. Millions of innocent children have been sacrificed essentially to Moloch, or Moloch, I guess there's different spellings and pronunciations. Same thing. Sacrifice to Satan through the abortion industry and for medical research, you know, FDA harvesting aborted fetal cells for humanized mice experiments and vaccine testing and vaccine production. It's all aborted human fetal cells, folks. That's in there. That's all real. It's an affront to God, but the difference is today, the people doing the abortions, that are murdering their children, they're not usually going to church the same day and then praising God and, you know, praying to Jesus after they murder their child that morning. That's not typically what happens today, because the pro-abortion lunatics, they're Satanists now. So they murder their baby and then they praise Satan. But back in the Old Testament, there were parents who were murdering their children and then praising Jesus. And that really infuriated God. And so he unleashed his wrath upon them. But isn't it amazing how so little has changed in thousands of years? Where back then, you know, they would throw their child into a burning pit, literally, and just listen to it cry and scream until it was burned to a crisp. And then today, parents just sacrifice their children to the California public school system and let them be, you know, psychologically traumatized by perverted biological men with a penis out in a log cabin in the woods somewhere in the name of science. That's where we are in society. No joke. So God's judgment is being unleashed upon us, by the way. God's judgment is final. And the reason I mention this is because I think we're past the point of being able to prevent that. I really do. I think that it has begun. And I think that our nation, the United States of America, as we know it, and also Canada now, are going to be taken down through divine dynamics, let's say. They're going to be destroyed. And there's going to be massive suffering and starvation, violence, desperation, the horrors, the crimes that take place in a city when people are desperate and parents have no ethics or morality in the things they do to their own children or with their own children in order to survive. It's unspeakable. And that's all going to happen in the downfall of America as we know it. Because you can't just murder millions of babies and pretend it didn't happen. You can't just dismember unborn human children piece by piece as they're alive, as their hearts are beating, as their brains are processing. You can't just rip their arms and legs apart and then pretend like, oh, it's just women's health. No, it isn't. You're murderers. You are demon worshipers. And you're all going to hell, and the nation that you claim to represent is going to be taken down because God did it before. He's doing it again. He's going to do it every time, in fact, that people turn against him. It all counts. It all counts. In fact, the murder of innocent children counts almost more than any other heinous act. It actually sets off cosmic vibrations of evil, like an energy wave, a destructive tidal wave of just pure evil. Suffering and pain. It's the kind of ripple effect that the divine creator notices, especially when it's happening thousands of times a day all over the country, but especially in certain places like New York City, the abortion capital of America, and in California, you know, other, probably the second most common abortion capital in America. So would you be surprised if there were a cosmic event that, oh, I don't know, where like a fiery mountain was dropped into the sea, into the ocean, causing a tidal wave that destroyed coastal cities like New York City and Los Angeles, which are the murder capitals of America? Would you be surprised? You know, if you had read any of the Bible, if you read, I don't know, the book of Revelation, for example, if you'd read any of that, Matthew, Luke, even Old Testament stuff, read some of it. Isaiah. Oh, what's he talking about? Talking about God's wrath. And by the way, when you see the evil that's in the hearts of men and women in our modern world, it's kind of hard to disagree with God's wrath, isn't it? You can kind of see where he's coming from, you know, when God's like, I'm going to rain down giant asteroids and there's going to be volcanoes, earthquakes. The ground will tremble beneath your feet. There will be sinkholes and you will disappear into those sinkholes. That's another thing that he did in the Old Testament. Swallowed up soldiers and armies and such. It's kind of like, well, they had it coming. You know what I mean? They murdered their babies. They worshiped Satan. They lied. They censored people. What else did they do? Oh, they rigged elections. They tried to start World War III. Let's see. They were deceivers, right? They committed, rape, child sacrifice, child trafficking, all the pedophilia, the transgenderism, pretending that men can get pregnant. They brainwashed children. They castrated children. Yeah, I could kind of see where God's coming from, you know? Not too hard to understand that. Which brings me to this interesting point that it's going to be horrible to suffer through God's wrath because his wrath targets entire nations and even the innocent are not spared in that. And you can see that in the Bible as well. There are a lot of innocent victims of, you know, big forces being unleashed because, you know, the whole nation showed that it was evil and not worthy of existing in the eyes of God. But following these events, following the reckoning or the accountability, you do realize that society will be much better off after God's work is done in that chapter. You realize that, right? Because you know that you really can't have a world with any peace or any real justice or reason or rationality or even families. You can't have a world that's safe for children as long as these pedophile lunatics exist. And, you know, it's not our place to seek them out or, you know, to hunt them down or anything like that. That's not our place, but that is God's place. And when someone is out there committing so much evil, you know, child trafficking, raping children, grooming children for transgenderism and so on, God notices them. And I think those people get a little special, like extra dose of wrath. It's like, here's a little wrath package just for you. It's got your name on it. It's like, you should open that. See what's in there. You know, open it up. It's like a horde of locusts or something. It's boils and it's plague. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, what did you think was going to happen? You've been raping children for 20 years. What, you know, where did you think this was going? And I hope you realize that even the level of evil of the child rapist is probably equaled in those who are trying to alter human DNA with these transgenetic injections that are mislabeled vaccines. Because, you know, obviously it's evil to assault children. You know, which is what doctors do all the time with vaccines, but it's also what pedophiles do and so on. It's what the transgenderism grooming is all about. But it's in another sense, it's even more evil to assault the genetic integrity that defines the human being created in the image of God. So in other words, to try to alter the genetic blueprint of humanity is an assault on God at multiple levels. It's not just attacking a human being. It's attacking the very blueprint of God's creation. It's attacking the code, you could say, the code of life, or at least as we know it, the code of biology and physiology. And so that's a kind of evil where I think the people involved in that, they get really extra special treatments when in whatever's coming, you know, from God and maybe in hell, maybe they get like a special place, special high chair or something in hell where they get to watch the festivities. Well, at least until their eyeballs are plucked out by crows or whatever happens in hell, or gargoyles with wings come along. Oh, your delicious eyeballs. It's time again. And then they grow back and then they pluck them out again. Cause that's hell, right? It's eternal suffering for your sins. that would be horrible. It's like one more reason, you know, not to assault the genetic code of humanity. You know, I can just see it one day, some of these former CEOs showing up in hell. Oh my God, I'm going to have my eyes plucked out over and over again for eternity. You're like, yeah, how much of a big deal do those vaccine profits seem now? Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that before you murdered people with your jabs. And so one of the reasons I say all this, why I'm even covering this right now, is because You know, honestly, truthfully, I think reading the Bible needs to be part of our preparedness plans. We really need to, just like, you know, earlier I was talking about, you can't understand Ukraine and Russia until you understand the history of World War II and the Nazi attack on the Soviet Union, right? And the fact that the Nazis came from Germany, which is a NATO Western nation today, run by a Nazi, by the way, right? You can't understand the region until you understand the history of the Nazis. Well, any of us, I don't mean just you, but all of us, we cannot understand our world until you read the history in the Bible. Seriously. Until you read the Bible and understand the accounts of what happened there and how God reacted to evil and child sacrifice and, Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the examples of civilizations turning away from God. Until you understand the repercussions of that, you are not ready for what's about to happen, I believe. And so, yes, we have to be prepared with supplies, you know, food, all of it, water filters, firearms where they're legal, you know, for self-defense and so on. But we got to be ready spiritually. This means we have to understand what happened before us and how we got here and the interaction between civilizations and God. And I know that the Bible doesn't cover, you know, obviously all history. You know, I mean, you're going to have to learn a lot more history to understand the geopolitics and, you know, what's happening with the nations and so on. But the Bible gives you this core understanding of the fact that God has an expectation that we act with morality, that we embrace certain basic morals, like, you know, don't run around killing people, you know, don't murder your children, you know, don't bear false witness, don't lie about others, right? All these things. And when societies turn away from those things, which all of our modern societies have, those societies will be brought down. End of story. So it's almost like if you're focused in the realm of just money and finance or politics and news and current events, you might miss the big picture that really the biggest force here is God himself. The biggest day of reckoning is not Wall Street and the stock market bubble. The biggest day of reckoning is God saying enough is enough. And that's where we are right now. That's what's coming. Well, I think it has already begun. And, you know, by the way, along those lines, someone sent me a really nice gift. It is the I Am Bible. And there's an image of a burning bush on the front cover. And what this Bible is all about is that every word of God is bolded. So as you just flip through the Bible, you can, you know, as you're reading, you know, if it's bolded, that's the actual word of God. So whoever sent me this, I want to thank you for sending me. So if you turn to Exodus, what is it, chapter 32, verse 33. This is bolded. And the Lord said unto Moses, quote, whoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I've spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in a day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. So that's exactly what I was just talking about. You know, whoever hath sinned against me, him I will blot out of my book. God is not going to cover for you if you are sinning against him. And, you know, look, I understand then later on, right, then we have Jesus and Jesus dies for everybody's sins in order to allow sinners to enter the kingdom of heaven. I get that. But it seems to me that there are certain types of sins, especially among those who commit them repeatedly, that God does not forgive. Now, again, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm not claiming that I know all the answers on this. I don't see how any human could. But it's my impression that if people are out there, you know, burning children alive or aborting them, murdering them, or, you know, raping them or whatever, I don't think you get into heaven ever if you're doing that kind of thing. I don't think you can do that for 20, 30 years and then just say, oh, I asked to be forgiven. And it's, oh, sure, just come on into the kingdom of heaven. Forget about all your 30 years of child raping and pedophilia. Since you asked for forgiveness, you're good to go now. I don't think it works that way, frankly. But I don't know, maybe you can correct me if you think I'm wrong about that. Because if those are the rules, then I'm a little bit freaked out. Because that would mean that there are other souls in heaven who are pedophiles and rapists, right? And I hope that's not the case. But I don't know, you tell me, because a lot of you know a lot more about the Bible than I do. You tell me, when we go to heaven, there are going to be a bunch of pedophiles there who just ask for forgiveness? God, I hope not. Send those people to hell. In any case, you know what? I'll leave you with that thought or that commentary. It might rile up some discussion on that one. That's okay. I'm not right about everything. I don't know the word of God. I can't know the mind of God, but neither can anybody else, by the way. So anybody who says they know what God's thinking exactly is, you know, it's probably taking a guess. We can't know the mind of God exactly, right? But we know he's not happy with what humanity's doing. So how that plays out, we have front row seats. It's going to be interesting. That's for sure. But I'll be with you tomorrow with some other news and analysis. The situation with Russia obviously is very serious. I want you to get prepared, both spiritually and also with, you know, physically, because it looks like some very crazy scenarios are coming. Let me give credit to the sponsors for today. Of course, you know the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. Backup communications can be extremely useful in this time. And then also, of course, if you want to get prepared, check out the Health Ranger Store. That's healthrangerstore.com. And we are shipping out every day. We are out of our Ranger buckets, the certified organic storable food buckets, but we'll have more of those ready to go in April. Yeah, it seems like it's about every 2 months that we have another batch of those available. They're very time consuming to manufacture. So, but we have many other products right now, including freeze-dried fruits and some vegetables that are in the number 10 sealed cans, the big like coffee can style cans. They're called number 10 cans. And that's a great storable source of vitamin C and other nutrients, such as anthocyanins, for example, in the freeze-dried blueberries. And since a lot of people's food supplies don't cover fruits and vegetables, you know, a lot of the storable food out there is kind of rice and textured vegetable protein and just kind of, I don't know, salt and MSG and whatever. There's not a lot of fruits and vegetables in those supplies. So don't forget the fruits and vegetables. And by the way, I opened up a can the other day and I always write the dates on the cans. And I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think I'd written 2010 on that can and it was freeze-dried raspberries. And I opened it up. It's like, wow, these raspberries, and I tasted them, you know, they're really awesome. And they tasted just as fresh. I mean, that's 12 years ago. But freeze drying is the best process, especially for fruits. It really preserves them extremely well. And I think if you store these in the right conditions for some of these fruits, they can probably go 20 years, although I can't make that claim on everything, but I tested 12 years and that was good. And that's a long time. So emergency backup food supplies are available at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you to whoever sent me that Bible. It's going to be fascinating to go through and just see like what are the bolded parts. What was God saying exactly without having to think about who said that? No, that's God if it's bolded. That's going to be interesting. But thank you for listening. We'll talk with you tomorrow. God bless you and God bless America. And oh, God save us, huh? From what's going on. We're all under attack. Humanity's on the brink, but we can survive. We can make it through. It's going to take preparedness, knowledge, and faith, all those elements. Thank you for listening. We'll talk with you tomorrow.